You're listening to Joe McGee.
I told you before in the vision part, God does not live in time. He created time for us to live in so our life could be measured. God's incredible on that. God is very detailed. He said, you know, the Bible says some men's sins are dealt with in this lifetime, some are falling into the next lifetime.
You are listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh and learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
We're continuing a teaching called 8 Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without. We've talked about the value of self-worth. You can't like yourself if you don't know God likes you. That's where you get it. Value comes from a price paid for something, and Jesus was the price paid for us. So we ought to believe highly of ourselves in that sense so we can go be a blessing to somebody else. Number two, we talked about vision. Only God gives vision. Can't get a vision from a man. Doesn't come in a book. You can't get it in a bookstore. Vision comes from God. That's what God's got for us to do. You know, the Bible says, what man gets ready to build a tower unless he first sits down and counts the cost thereof? Or what man gets ready to go to war unless he sits down and counts the cost thereof? You know, there are some things about having a vision and then counting the cost, which brings us to the third thing today, a love of math. The third thing every child ought to leave home with is an absolute love of math. Now, you don't have to do algebraic equations. You don't have to do calculus, trigonometry. But you better know math. You better like math because you're going to need it because math is money. You know, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, any man who does not provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. He is as one who has denied the faith. Now, here's what it's talking about. I'm expected by God to be able to provide for my family. You know, Proverbs 13:22 says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his children's children. And here's what God's expecting of me as a husband, as a father, as a man. I'm expected to provide for my family. I get a paycheck for doing a certain amount of work. And that paycheck in there has numbers. Those numbers are called math. Math is money. You cannot separate the two. Everything God did, He did with numbers. He measured out the heavens. He measured out the earth. He measured out the waters, the oceans in His hand. God is a mathematical God. Everything God owns is inventory. The hairs of our head, the days of our life, a bird in a tree in New Mexico falls down. An angel writes it down. God, we just lost the bird in New Mexico. Everything God owns is inventoried. He is an accountant. He has accounting angels. He is an accounting God. When we get to heaven, we will give an account of every idle word, every idle deed, everything we said. God is incredible when it comes to numbers. And there's a great scripture in Proverbs 24, verse 4 says, you profit wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Which reflects what's going on in America. Math has almost gone to the bottom of things people want to study and want to do. Our kids begin to gripe about math in elementary. They gripe about it in junior and high school. America ranks fourth from the bottom in math scores among the industrialized nations of the world. And that is not a good sign. Only Ethiopia, Lithuania, and South Africa have worse math scores than American high school students. You know what that does? That makes us number one in another category, and that's personal debt. Because if you're bad at math, you're bad at money. You're going to have to learn about money because every paycheck you get, that's money. How much math did they leave on there? How much math did they take out? How much math is this car actually going to cost me? How much math is this credit card actually going to cost me? And I'm telling you, the quality of our daily life is going to be made up of how well we handle the math of our daily life. Because I'll promise you, when I get to heaven, when you get to heaven, those that are going to heaven, we will give an account. There will be mathematical figures. Our life is being measured. I told you before in the vision part, God does not live in time. He created time for us to live in so our life could be measured. So there would be an accounting of it. In other words, we're getting to prove if we're going to be stewards of God's grace, of His mercy, of His love, of the things He's given us. That's what the parable of the talents is all about, Matthew 25:14. One got five, one got two, one got one. And they got a different amount according to their ability to handle that math. In other words, can you handle this? Why did you get 5 sections of land and you only got 2? Because you've proven that you can be responsible for 5 sections of land. The reason you're only handling 1 is because you've proven that's all you can handle. And so I can either increase my ability or decrease it and allow me to play with more or not. Listen, I wasn't born with any money. I don't take it with me when I leave. I just get to steward it while I'm here. And the better I steward what I've got, the more I get to play with. And so I tell kids, you're going to leave home. I don't care what you want to do in life. I don't care if you want to run a dry cleaners, own a business, raise chickens. I don't care what it is. Whatever you do is going to involve math on a daily basis. When you show up somewhere, that's going to be based on a calendar, you know, on a date and a clock with a time and there's speed limits with numbers. Your whole life, every day, you bake a cake, you need to know math. You build a porch, you got to know how to square that thing off and get a diagonal line across it. You got to know theories and a little algebra, even just to build a porch. And so if you don't know math, you're going to be incredibly handicapped on this planet. People, I've noticed something in life, most people who are good at math, money's not a problem for them. They may have 1,000 other problems. Money's not usually a problem because money's got a law. Money has no emotion. Money has no feelings. It's not against me. It's not for me. Money's a law like gravity. It works if it gets worked. It's just that simple. And so I want to read you a few scriptures talking about math and money, give you an idea, because listen, everything God created, He created with numbers. Everything from the 2x2s to the enough amount of wood in the ark to how big the tabernacle is going to be to how wide heaven is and the foundation of the New Jerusalem. Everything, if you notice, you read the Bible, is measured. That ark had been a cubit shorter, a cubit longer, that boat would have sunk. You know, PBS did a special years ago on the ark, said it was impossible to sink because of one thing, its mathematical dimensions that came from God. You get in the Bible and God talks about, you know, even in the New Testament about money, about Jesus watched them giving you know, people talk about, well, preachers and pastors shouldn't know how much you give. Well, Jesus did. He's the head shepherd and he watched how that woman gave the 2 mites. That woman gave more than everybody today because she gave all that she had. In other words, he's watching the numbers. He talked about Ananias and Sapphira, who promised to give a certain amount of money, but held it back, and how they dropped dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. He said, God is an accounting God. Do not think for a minute that he's not. God is all loving, but he is also just. As much as he's loving, he's also just. The scales must balance. And so if that's true, then what we need to do is realize in our daily life, maybe we need to do a better job of accounting. 97% of all Americans, according to the last census, have no working budget. They have no idea how much they owe, how much they own, how much they earn, where it goes. They don't know. They just know they need more money. That's all they know. You ask the average person, well, you know, I need more money. How much you got? Well, I don't know, but I need more. How much you spend? I don't know, but I need more. And what happens is they're not working the laws of the kingdom, which are the laws of stewardship. Now, listen to the Word of God. These are just a smattering of scriptures. I mean, you can spend hours on this. We're going to do about 28 minutes here, but I think you're going to catch this where you're going to realize something. I'm going to change my attitude, hopefully, when this is over, about math. I'm going to change my child's attitude about math. I remember my daughter came in one day. She said, Dad, algebra. She was all teared up because algebra, she was so struggling in math. She was making A's and everything except algebra, and it was just horrible. And she came in and cried, said, Dad, algebra is of the devil. I said, algebra's of the devil. I said, it is not. Yes, it is. And said, God does everything decently and in order. And the devil's full of confusion. And God made letters and God made numbers. And some heathen has mixed it up and created confusion and called it algebra. You know, I thought, you know, that's a pretty good argument, you know. But no, it's not true because algebra is an exact science. You get one letter off, one number off. You get that line off and that whole problem's wrong. It's just like the law where God said, if you violate one jot, one tittle, one line of the law, you violated the whole law. And algebra is a very exacting science. It makes you think. It makes you problem solve. It's an incredible, incredible study. Now, you don't have to love it, but you're going to realize, I better know how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide because my daily life is going to consist of this. You know, they talk about America right now in trouble financially because we don't plan for retirement. And we keep wanting somebody to do it for us instead of really kind of planning for it ourselves. And the government said for every 100 people the government tracks by age 65, that they said that 36 of them have died. So 36 out of every 100 Americans do not make it to age 65 according to the last census. Now, the other thing is, it said 56 out of every 100 Americans by age 65 will be living either totally off Social Security or some family member's support. That's a shame. The richest nation on the face of the planet, $22 trillion changing hands every year, and we're not able to manage our money. They say that 5 out of every 100 Americans by age 65 will be working because they have to. 4 out of every 100 Americans will be considered what they are well off, and 1 out of every 100 Americans will be considered wealthy. Isn't that amazing? Only 5 in the most educated nation on the face of the planet, more schools per capita than any place else, We've got only 5 out of every 100 Americans have the ability to manage their money so they can retire and live a normal life. That's incredible. That means we're very bad at math. We don't like it. We say we don't like it. We confess we don't like it. And I'm telling you, if we're going to become godly, God is a God of stewardship. I would just cut some things out of the paper just to show that. Here's a thing that says right here. This is a big article that came out in one of the big leading papers in America. Author promises basic math can make you a millionaire. You know, this stuff's been around forever. Here's an editorial out of a local paper. It says math skills touted as a formula for success. This one came out the last of last year. The best-selling money books of 2003. Here's all these. But why? Because everybody's starting to realize something. I better start being able to give an account of my life. I better start being able to measure my life because I can't increase what I don't steward. Even the world's realized I've got to steward what I've got or I can't increase. Listen to this. Proverbs 29:23.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message.
The government tracks by age 65, that they said that 36 of them have died. So 36 out of every 100 Americans do not make it to age 65, according to the last census. Now, the other thing is, it said 56 out of every 100 Americans by age 65 will be living either totally off Social Security or some family member's support. That's a shame. The richest nation on the face of the planet, $22 trillion changing hands every year, and we're not able to manage our money. They say that 5 out of every 100 Americans aged 65 will be working because they have to. 4 out of every 100 Americans will be considered what they are well off, and 1 out of every 100 Americans will be considered wealthy. Isn't that amazing? Only 5 in the most educated nation on the face of the planet, more schools per capita than any place else. We've got only 5 out of every 100 Americans have the ability to manage their money so they can retire and live a normal life. That's incredible. That means we're very bad at math. We don't like it. We say we don't like it. We confess we don't like it. And I'm telling you, if we're going to become godly, God is a God of stewardship. I would just cut some things out of the paper just to show that. Here's a thing that says right here. This is a big article that came out in one of the big leading papers in America. Author promises basic math can make you a millionaire. You know, this stuff's been around forever. Here's an editorial out of a local paper. It says math skills touted as a formula for success. This one came out the last of last year. The best-selling money books of 2003. Here's all these. But why? Because everybody's starting to realize something. I better start being able to give an account of my life. I better start being able to measure my life because I can't increase what I don't steward. Even the world's realized I've got to steward what I've got or I can't increase. Listen to this. Proverbs 29:23. Listen what God says and think about it in the terms of math. All we're trying to do in this short session is just change our attitude. The skills will come. You'll learn what you need to know. Need's an incredible motivator. It was for me, it was for everybody I've known. But first, we've got to get the attitude changed. Proverbs 27:23, God says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks and give careful attention to your herds. You know what that means is? God says, I do supernatural things. I make rain, you can't make rain. I make grass, I make sheep. I make grass grow, I make sheep get fat. But when you go to the marketplace, you're on your own. You do the business. I do the supernatural. God says, you do the natural. Proverbs 11:1, the Lord hates dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. You ever been cheated in business? You ever been cheated in a business deal? Got mad? God was more angry than you were. God hates people that cheat in business. Doesn't like that. Luke 12:7, indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Who cares? God does. God cares about everything He made, created. He's got an inventory. Psalms 90 verse 10, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength, they may be 80. You know why God told us how long to live? So we'd shoot for it and not pull up short. So we'd fight for it. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. God, teach us to measure our time and our day, not squander our time or waste it. Proverbs 9, verse 11. Proverbs 9, verse 11. For by me your day shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. And I like that. Multiplication, increase, I like that. Those are good things. Luke 9, verse 14, on the feeding of the 5,000. For there are about 5,000 men, and he said unto his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50, or by 50s in a company, before he could increase the food. And here's what God said, I like the feeding of the 5,000. That was just men. That included their wives or kids or cousins or who else. That was just the men. They'd been out there for 3 days listening to the preaching. They're getting hungry, and Jesus said we need to feed them. Now, he didn't violate a single law as God. He didn't violate a single law. Number one, we must start with a seed. We needed a little boy's lunch. Can't increase what's not sown. The law of seed time and harvest worked even for Jesus Christ. I need a natural seed to be sown. So someone had to sow that natural seed. Then he set them down in groups of 50. Why? Well, he could have just made 5,000 Happy Meals appear, I guess, couldn't he? No, because God won't violate his own law. God is a God of order. God does everything decent in order. And here's what Jesus said. Set them down in groups of 50. Why? I need to know. My faith is going to make a miracle happen. I need to know how many's been fed, how many haven't been fed, because we need to monitor this. And then he even let us know how many baskets he took up after it was left over. He didn't waste a single crumb on the ants or the birds or anything. He said, you take that up. God is a God of stewardship. So he knew how many he started with. He knew how many he fed. He knew what groups they were in. And he knew how many he took up. Look at all the math in that one story. And God had the Holy Ghost put that down. You think God's not concerned about numbers? You better believe it. Well, it's just quality, not quantity. Not according to God. God's big on numbers. Incredibly big on numbers. Look at this. This is the story that's not on your refrigerator. Acts 5, verse 1. A certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the money. His wife also being a part of that. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the money of your hand? While it was remained, was it not your own? He said, nobody made you promise to give this money. Nobody made you promise that amount. You're the one that said it. He said, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? And you've not lied unto men, but unto God. And it says, of course, they both dropped dead right there. What for? Lying about money. Lying about math. God's incredible on math. God is very detailed. He said, you know, the Bible says some men's sins are dealt with in this lifetime. Some are falling into the next lifetime. You got the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, 14. I love this about the parable of the talents. Again, one guy gets five, one gets two, one gets one section of land. The master goes away. Jesus is telling the story. They come back. The guy with five doubled to 10. He had worked the five hard, good corn crops, wheat crops, cattle, made such a profit. Not only did he make a profit, he went out and bought five more sections of land that are also producing. And when the master came back, he presented 10. And the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Same thing with two. Worked it hard, bought two more sections of land. He said, well done. You know what? We talk about faithfulness as being somebody who shows up on time and does their job. That's not God's definition of faithfulness. God's definition of faithfulness is somebody who increases what he gives them. If you don't increase what I give you, I'm not giving you anymore. That's why Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branch. If you don't produce fruit for me, I'll lop you off and put you in the fire. God is a God of stewardship. The story of Luke 16, verse 1 through 13, about the unjust steward who'd been skimming money off the books. Long before there was an Enron in the Bible. The boss catches the accountant and he fires him. The accountant begins to say within himself, how am I going to earn a living now that I've been fired? He said, man, I can't dig. I'm too lazy. I can't beg. I'm too ashamed. He got to thinking, how am I going to get me a job? And he began to think, I know what I will do so that when I'm fired, I'll get me another job tomorrow morning. And he quickly goes down and begins to call all the people who owed his boss money. He said, how much do you owe my Lord? He said, well, so much. He said, no, you don't. Cut it in half. Here's your new invoice. If you pay it full now, I'll give you a half price discount. Don't forget who did this for you. And then he said, how much do you owe my Lord? He said, well, I owe 80-something. He said, no, I'm gonna give you 20% discount. Here, I'll write you a new invoice. You pay this. Don't forget who did this for you. And he started making friends by using his money. The boss heard the deal, came down and got mad at him. He said, I'll tell you right now, You stole from me while you were working. I fired you. You stole more money after I fired you than when you were working for me. He said, I'll give you this. Said he commended the unjust steward. Now, what an odd thing to do. Commended him. Why? Because he had done wisely. And Jesus said this, that the children of darkness have more wisdom than the children of light. Because he understood something. I better realize something. My job is extended. I better know how to take care of myself. And the guy said, I'll give you this. You knew how to cover yourself. Yeah, I gave you this. And then Jesus immediately launches into this. He said, you better make a friend out of the mammon of unrighteousness so that when you fail, somebody will hug your neck when you get to heaven, or when you die, get to heaven, because it takes money to put people into heaven. He said, you better make a friend. And what is a friend? The Bible, Jesus said, a friend is somebody who will die for you. You know, in your whole lifetime, you may have two or three friends. You're not going to have very many friends. In your whole life, you may have just a few. A friend is somebody you know everything about. They know your good points, your bad points. They know all about you, yet they still are your friend. He said, you better do that with money. You better know money so well. You better know its good part, its bad part, because money's got power in it. It'll either bless you or it'll curse you. And you better get to know how money works or you'll never have any of it. You'll never be a blessing to anybody. You're always going to be the person needing a miracle instead of the person being the miracle when you go into a room. It says here in Matthew, let me just read this, 2 Kings 4:1. I like this one. 2 Kings 4:1 is one of my favorite stories. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets, who Elisha saying, unto Elisha saying, your servant, my husband is dead. In other words, my husband worked for you, now he's dead. And you know that my servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him away, my two sons, as bondmen. Here's what he said in another translation. My husband loved God, feared God, served God, and died broke. He's working, he's one of the sons of the prophets. He's working for the prophet Elisha. What's it saying? My husband was a godly man, no doubt about it. Elisha didn't deny that. Your husband was. And he loved God, feared God, served God. That's true, he did. But he didn't know the first thing about budgeting or providing for his family, and he's died broke. So broke, your son's going to spend the rest of their life working off your father's debt as slaves for another man. And you know something? That certainly doesn't answer the biblical mandate of, you know, a good man leaves stuff to his children, his children's children. These kids weren't left a thing except their father's debts. They won't even get to live with their mother. Not only is their father gone, they won't get to see their mother. They're going to be working as a slave for their father's slothfulness in the business realm, which means you can go to heaven and be completely messed up in your money. Because the scriptures that have to do with money are not scriptures that have to do with salvation. They are two different sets of scriptures, two different worlds that you live in. You've got two currencies we live off of, faith and cash. You better have both. Faith that works is dead, and works without faith is dead. You've got to have both of them if you're going to be successful on this planet. One thing I did in studying years ago was trying to study, you know, about money and how it flows. You know, Deuteronomy 8:18, God says this, I'll give you power to get wealth that my covenant will be established upon the earth. I'll give you power to get wealth that my covenant be established upon the earth. We've got some wonderful friends up in New York City, Jewish families that we've got to know over the years and been able to talk with them and visit with them and just talk about our families. And I've always been fascinated how they raise their children, how their children were taught, the values that they put into their children versus what. And as a school administrator, I wanted to know and know how to teach our children coming out of our school.
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with a tool for you to use in your marriage.
You know, the Word of God tells us that God does everything decently and in order. You know, here we are in the middle of this great teaching called 8 Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without. It's also the seminar we teach for businessmen. We've covered some great things, everything from vision and planning. Today, organizational skills and time management, that is the bottom line of all things. If there are a hole somewhere, it's involved in this.
Well, you think about your relationships, you know. I wanted to date my wife. You know, we were single and I'm going to college. She's getting her last year of high school. Man, I wanted to date her, but I love that gal. I really love that gal. So I spent every waking moment with her. I mean, all the time. If I had a minute off, I'd call her from work. After work, I'm going to her house. I'm not going back to my house. Maybe we'd sit around and watch movies and eat pizza and kiss and hug and talk. And it was great because I really loved her, you know. But all of a sudden, we want to get married. You know, we're going to do? Well, we got to get married. I thought, yeah, let's get married. So we got married. Who are you? Well, I'm in love with my wife. I want to be with her all the time. She wants to be with me. You get married, you realize, well, wait a second. We're not living with our parents. We're going to need a house. Yeah, we're going to need our own car. And we're going to need to buy our own groceries. And, oh, we got to have some dishes to eat off of. And, oh, we need a couch to sit on. And, oh, we need a bed to sleep on. And all of a sudden, you know, when the honeymoon was over, like, whoa, what happened, man? We need some stuff. Well, we're going to have to work and work hard. So I'm working two jobs. She's working one. I mean, man, we were, you know, you talk about not getting any time. It's almost like we almost fell out of love. Why? We're trying to make enough money just so we can see each other. And so we realized after a few, I'd say about 3 years into our marriage, that we got to get organized. We got bills stacked up, paper stacked up, garage piled up, trash stacked up. It's like, we got to get some order. The Bible says this, that order precedes increase. You want to increase in your life? You got to get some order. God's an orderly God. When you get to heaven, you won't be waiting in line for anything. You won't be eating off a paper plate. God's real good at organization, time management. So it didn't happen overnight, but we begin the process. Okay, we're going to start with this closet. This closet in the room, we're going to open it up. Junk's going to fall out. Half this junk we don't need. You ever know when you start cleaning stuff up, you realize you got three things you didn't know you had? You didn't think you had one. All of a sudden, you got three of them. Why? We kept rebuying something because you didn't know you had it. So we began to organize the closets and the garage and our tools and our shoes that we didn't need. You know, hey, we don't need another pair of tennis shoes. I got two good pair here. And when we started organizing, man, something happened. We had more time. Those two are inseparably tied together. You start organizing your life, you get more time to do what you want to do, not what you have to do. So God's real big on time. You know, there's no time in heaven, by the way. But God's real big on organization. So God promises to establish our thoughts, order our steps, direct our paths. God said, if you make your plans, I'll order your steps. So we got to start working together with God. The way you do that, I'll tell you, you need to just have an all-day house cleaning or a garage sale. You're going to sleep better, think better, feel better, and you're going to have some spare time in your hands to improve the quality of your life. It works real good.
Call now, 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.